Please turn your Bible this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This morning we're looking at comfort and suffering. Comfort and suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you still move in the hearts of your people. And Lord, that you're very present this morning in our worship. And Lord, we ask that you'll guide us now in the scriptures. Lord, that when we go through hardships and struggles in life, that, Lord, we will receive comfort from you. So that also, Lord, you can move in us and through us to comfort others. And Lord, may you receive glory in it all. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Comfort and suffering. Now, he begins this letter with comfort. Now, 1 Corinthians, let me tell you just a little bit about 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is more of a letter of rebuke, okay? He rebuked the church. He rebuked them for many things. One was he rebuked them that they were looking for wisdom in all the wrong places to seek spiritual wisdom. It's in Christ Jesus. He rebuked them for being partial with the preachers and the speakers and the pastors. This one would favor this one over that one and so forth. And he rebuked them about that. The Apostle Paul rebuked the church at Corinth over sexual immorality. He also rebuked them about spiritual gifts, that all spiritual gifts are important in the church, in the body of Christ. He rebuked them also about love. And he told them what agape love is all about and examples of agape love, and how we are to pursue love, agape love, godly love in our life. And now, here in 2 Corinthians, he begins with comfort. He's comforting them now. And as you read in the letter, they did correct many things in the church, and he's writing them and giving them comfort. And speaks of comfort throughout the letter. And the word comfort is paraklesis. And it means to call, come alongside or to call alongside for aid, for comfort, for guidance even. It could be even a judicial term to come alongside for the aid of someone, to stand with someone for their defense. And that's what the word comfort means in this letter. And verse 3, again it says that our God is the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. So this means true and everlasting comfort. All. He says, the God of all comfort. You see, many times we may reach out for comfort in all the wrong areas. in all the wrong ways. Sometimes we may reach out for comfort for temporary fixes. Okay? And these temporary fixes that sometimes we reach out for comfort, they do not last. Because God is the God of all comfort. And if you're not looking to God for true comfort and everlasting comfort, then everything else is just temporary. Even life itself is temporary. And then even the affliction and hardship that we may be struggling through at the time, that's temporary also. But see, God is the source of everlasting comfort. He is true comfort when everything else is just temporary. It's a lot like a lady that had two boys, and she puts them in bed and tucks them in and tells them good night, and she goes in, and says, "Now I can relax." And she goes and goes to the restroom and fixes her hair up in a ball and takes off all of her makeup and puts on some kind of white salve all over her face and puts on a robe, and she was going to go, get some water before she went to bed, and she heard them two boys in the bedroom with a pillow fight. She goes in there and opens the door and says, "If you two boys don't stop playing and if you don't go to sleep, I'm coming back in here and it's going to be bad for you." And she slams the door and goes back to her bedroom. And the two boys were stunned. One of them said, "Who was that?" Who was that? Everything about us is temporary. Even our looks, our health, our youthfulness, it's all temporary. Even our sufferings are temporary. And by the way, even if we die, it's everlasting life for us. Amen? So it's all temporary. This life is temporary, but God is not temporary. His comfort is everlasting. And, we need to look to Him for the comfort that we need in life, because He is all comfort. This means peace, assurance, security. It's grace to make it through this comfort that God gives us. Verse 4, we see that He comforts us in all our tribulation and any trouble. Let's read it. Verse 4, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So He's a God of all comfort, and He comforts us in all our tribulation and any trouble. Those words are very important, all and any. You see, trouble means, this word means affliction. It means to squeeze or to press, like pressing grapes or to get the juice out of fruit or vegetables and you squeeze it. And this word trouble or affliction means to be squeezed or squashed. But in any of this, God gives us comfort. But what do we do? What do you do when you're being squeezed in life? Are we easily removed from off the rock that is Christ? And we go to these temporary comforts that many times we feel worse when that little comfort time that they may provide gives us, and we actually feel worse? Or do we cling closer to God, the God of all comfort, of peace and grace and hope and security and assurance? What do you do when you're squeezed? But He comforts us in all those pressures in life. Now, two reasons. In context of this passage of Scripture, we're given two reasons why Christians suffer. Why do we suffer? Two reasons. Number one, so that we can comfort others. Look in verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So we suffer sometimes so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we are receiving. You know, many times when you're going through a hardship, sometimes people who are going through the same hardship will come to you, or you seek those that are going through that hardship, and you have a nucleus, a group there that understands each other, that knows what you're feeling and going through, and the sufferings that we suffer, we can help other brothers and sisters with comfort because we know. Just like Jesus knows what it means to be tempted and tested and to have hardships, and the Holy Spirit of God is our paraclete that comes alongside us to comfort us, you and I also can come alongside others with that comfort that God gives us. So that's one reason. Another reason in context here is to keep us from depending on ourselves. Look in verse 9 of the same chapter. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So again, in context, we suffer. When we're going through suffering, sometimes it's to teach us that we can't depend upon ourselves. Because none of us can control tragedies and hardships and circumstances in our life, but we can decide what we're going to do through them. Are we going to trust God, the God of all comfort, or go to temporary fixes that many times they do not last, and many times we feel worse? Let's read on. You see, believers will suffer in a fallen world for being a Christian. Look in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. We will suffer. There's Christians today that are dying. I know I tell you this often, but I keep wanting to remind you. Thousands have died in the latter part of 2014. We hear about Ebola, one death in America, while thousands are being killed by extreme Muslims in other countries. They were dying by the thousands, and all we hear by the media is something else. But people are suffering today. You know, you may be like me. I suffered this morning. Got dressed, studied, and I had to walk to my truck. I have a space between my carport and house about 5 feet wide. You know what happened to me? A cold drop of rain hit me right on my bald head. And we call that suffering. When there's people right now with people with swords and knives saying, are you a Christian or not? And when they say yes, their heads are cut off. And you be a witness for Christ, you will suffer. You will suffer. Christians will suffer. But you know what? God will supply all of our needs physically, emotionally, and spiritually through Christ Jesus. Amen. He will supply all of our needs. In this book, 2 Corinthians, in this letter, the Apostle Paul is talking about comfort. And when you get to chapter 4, he says this, we're cast down, but we're not forsaken. Because in these earthen vessels, we have a treasure. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. That's comfort. In chapter 5, in chapter 6, he says that we are the temple of God. In chapter 5, talking about death, he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. That's comfort. Chapter 10, he says, we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. And that the weapons are in this warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but it is mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds spiritually. That's comfort. In chapter 11, the old apostle says, in sufferings, and stripes laid upon my back, and beatings and scourgings, forsaken by my own countrymen, even in shipwrecks, even in being stoned and left for dead. I know what it means to be comforted by God. And let me tell you, my brother and sister, he says, God is a God that will comfort you no matter what tribulation or hardship or circumstances. I've been through all of this and God was there with me. And God is able to comfort you in struggles in life. God gave me strength. God gave me hope. God stood with me. You know what else he says in chapter 12? Please turn there with me. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Verse 8, concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That apostle, Lord, please remove this thing from Satan. And God didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. See, sometimes God is going to let us stay in affliction. Why? To show us that He is greater than any affliction or any trouble that we may be in. To show us that He is greater. That He is the God of all comfort. All tribulation He'll comfort us in, and in any trouble. That God is greater than any suffering that you and I are going through or may go through. That He will give us peace, and that His comfort is everlasting, that He'll give us assurance in that suffering. You see, the comfort that we receive from God does not depend upon our circumstances. It depends on God. You know, many times we think, if this thorn would be removed, oh God, then I will be happy. Oh God, if this thorn, this trouble in my life, if you would just remove it, then I can just go on with my life. And life will be good. God says no. God says no. He says, I'm better than that. Because my comfort will comfort you. Do you see there's no difficulty too hard? There's no hardship too difficult. There's no sorrow too great for God to bring comfort and peace in it. God says no. That even in the middle of the afflictions in life, you're going to find me more than enough. More than enough to sustain you. More than enough to hold you. More than enough to give you strength in it and through it. I'm more than enough. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. He's more than enough. I know I'm talking to many people this morning who are going through hardships and extreme struggles that squeeze is on you. Stay on the rock. Stay with Christ, because His comfort is more than enough. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray for those overseas who are under severe persecution. I pray, Lord, strength for them. And I know they have a special place at Your throne and altar in heaven. And I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here who are under affliction and trouble in many ways. I pray, Lord, for Your comfort and peace, that Your Holy Spirit, Lord, will help them as our helper and our comforter. And I pray that we will be witnesses, Lord, in and through tribulation. And God, I pray for those who do not know You personally as their Lord and Savior, that Your Holy Spirit will woo their heart and that they will receive true comfort, everlasting comfort, and not some worldly fix. Lord, may You have all glory during this invitation, in the name of Jesus, amen.